Philippines. Brother Manny and his beautiful wife Terry. She's such a sweetheart. They've been in this church for 30 years, more than 30 years. They were here 30 years when they went to the mission field. So it's been 32 now. And we're just so thankful for them. They have a tremendous ministry in the Philippines going on right now. Brother Manny does. As you know, the Lord opened the door for him to put up a number of scripture signs, billboard-sized scripture verses around Mindanao, around the Davao area, the police stations. Many of the police stations have them. And Brother Manny's been an encouragement to the pastors there and is sort of our mediator there with the pastors in the Philippines as far as literature and so on and Bibles and things that we send over there. We do everything through Brother Manny. And he has his heart set on a big project for next year, an evangelistic campaign to reach some towns on the coast of Mindanao, the east coast of Mindanao. We went yesterday or a couple of days ago and we had some maps of the Davao region blown up very large. In the next week or so, we're going to post it here at the front of the auditorium with the city circled. And we want you to start praying for those six towns, each about 20,000-25,000 people along the coast. And we're just praying that the Lord would enable us next summer, this time in July, to take a good group from this church, as well as there's some churches and pastors from Bukidnon that are going to help us with this. And we just want to sow the seed of God's word in those towns as thoroughly as we can and to get the gospel, if possible, to every home. That's our goal. It'll take a lot of people and a lot of literature and a lot of coordination, but Brother Manny is good at those sort of things. So he's going to be setting it all up. He'll be taking a survey trip of that area in the next month or two. And so we want to just continue to pray for him, pray for that work, pray for his health, pray for Terry's ministry there. She's a real blessing to the pastor's wives, just encouraging them and helping her husband. So we're so thankful for them. They've been a real blessing to this church. And I've asked him to come and preach to us this morning. All right? Go ahead, brother. There's water there also if you need that. Okay, that's for you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be back home.
Yeah,
this is my home. I have three homes. One here, one in Philippines, and my final home is in heaven.
Amen.
I am longing to see the beautiful home that the Lord has prepared for us.
Amen.
The day will come. It's coming. But in the meanwhile, we keep on working for the Lord.
That's right.
For the glory of God. For the glory of God. What are we doing in here? Thank God that you are here. You're not in the Yankee Stadium, in the mid stadium. If you can see the Yankee Stadium, it's all filled with people. So anxious to see the ball go over the fence. It's a home run. Are you excited for that ball? A small ball, to be hit by a small guy. Not excited to read the Word of God, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and serve the Lord? It's a shame on us. It's really a shame on us. If we have no desire to serve the Lord, who filled us with all the blessings that we have. Even in your closet, it's all filled with good material goods, material toys, you know. The computer here, the pocket computer, whatever. But thank God, He blessed us. Thank you, even for the young kids who come to me and said, Manny, I've been praying for you every day. I move, I'm touched. A good friend of mine, Joshua Edler, come to me and embrace me. Manny, I've been praying for you every day. And some of you adults, every Thursday morning, you are here to pray for me. And I'm so blessed. I thank God for you guys, brothers and sisters, that you prayed for me. I can't do it in the field without you, without your prayer. Your prayer support, your financial support. You have been a giving church from the very beginning, since I've been here in this church, way back 1975. And you have been a giving church. You never failed to give to support the man of God, your worker, your pastor, the deacon, and everybody. We have lots of mission fields that we have supported. Well, in the field, too much wound that I encounter. Sometimes I've been a wounded man. I thought to be a missionary will be meeting all those natives. That's okay. That's fine. But the hurt that I encountered is too much to bear sometimes. So many times that I've been hurt, I cried by myself. Lord, but still here am I. I love you, Lord. Like Joshua. Joshua was told to compass 7 times in the wall of Jericho to savor the victory. Sometimes we quit on the 5th round, on the 6th round. Don't quit. What kind of hardship do we experience for? Living in America is so beautiful. You know, that music, 1,000 tongues to sing. I love that music. Can you imagine if we hear the choir singing the Italian, the Egyptian, the Indian, the Filipinos, the Thailander, the Vietnamese, still it will blend. Many years ago, my daughter said, Dad, how long have you been here in the States? I said, 20 years. The longer you have been here in the States, the harder I could understand you. But just wait. Just hang on. There will be a beautiful symphony up in heaven. Probably the Filipinos will be the one leading the singing. And they said, Adam and Eve, some of you heard this joke. They said, Adam and Eve was a Filipino. Why is that? They don't have houses. They have no clothes. No job. But you know what? They still think that they live in paradise. I got you there. We live in the paradise. That's what we think. Open your book. In the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 5 to 11. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for this shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when this shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, I come to thee in prayer this morning. I am powerless, Lord, without your Holy Spirit that dwell in me. Give me, Lord, words to speak, that I'll have the boldness to speak the truth and to magnify your name. Thou art truly a great God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This will be the shortest message this morning. You can enjoy your lunch today. We have a beautiful Bible conference Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you miss that time, you miss a whole lot of blessing. You should be here. We have a great preacher, a man of God. His story has been in jail and get out of jail. But you know what? As a Christian, we don't have to experience those things. You don't have to be hit by a Mack truck and be in the hospital to experience that. Oh, the Lord is calling me. I have to serve Him. I owe a lot from Him. I thank God that I'm here. Or be in jail and in bed for how many years, how many months probably. And you can decide, Lord, use me when I get out of this place. You don't have to experience this time. You don't have to. Right now, I encourage you, young man, it's always my message for the young man. For the older ones, hey, pray for us. Excuse me. Am I nervous? We are looking for a new set of generations now. Young man, you have to be ready. We need a lot of missionaries. Missionaries all around the world. I can speak for where I come from. Way back 1960s, missionaries are flooding all over the Philippines. I know Colonel Cassius knows could testify about this, but now it's all diminishing. And we need a new sense of generation, these young people that we have. Use them. Answer the call of God. Don't play with your computer all the time. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. It will cause you some trouble. Stay put. Serve the Lord. Serve Him. We are serving for the day of judgment. Judgment time will come. What will you present to the Lord? Can you see, here am I? That's what I heard from a good friend of mine. He said, that's my crown. That's my crown. That's my crown. Because I did that for the Lord. That's what our founding pastor have said. Why you did what you did? What have you done? Why you did what you did? What you did? I'm not trying to scold you, but try to encourage you. Please, get up. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. The Lord said in verse 10, and the gospel must first be published. First. It's a must. It's a first one. It's a priority that the word of God will be published among all nations. Your life is a publicity wherever you go. Your life should be saying that Jesus Christ is in you. Open your life as an open book. You should not stop on the sixth round. You have to finish the seventh round. So you can shout, hallelujah, victory is coming.
Amen. That's good, preacher. Amen.
If you stop on the sixth round, you feel everything. You feel everything. Because you cannot shout, hallelujah. You're not victorious. Only seventh round. Probably in every round is 10 years. That's what God has said. God promises 70 years in your life. Now I'm 65. I'll be 66 soon. I got 5 more years to go. Then I'll quit. Probably God will take me home. Hallelujah. That will be the day. But I'm not going to quit. I encourage you to go on. I've been wounded. I have open heart surgery. I have a stroke. But does it bother me? No. I encourage you, young man. My heart bleeds. My heart bleeds for young people that's not serving the Lord. I'm so glad that side is filled with musicians. Young people has been tapped, has been discovered that there are young people who are talented in music. Parents, mind you, please give them all the chance. You are the guide. You are the light to your children. Don't let your children guide them to church. You bring them to church. Now it's all the way around. Back in the Philippines, this is what's happening. They got pregnant first, have a baby before they got married. What's going on? What's going on? And you know what happened? And you know what happened? As we have talked to Colonel Cassis last night, the devil is working so hard that pastors are partakers of politics now. Too much politics. They forgot to preach the word of God. They forgot to preach the word of God. But instead, you know why they are doing that? It's for the cost of money. They can hardly come to America and asking for more support for the ministry. But mostly it's not true. It's to support themselves. Your American dollar is really helping the ministry. But at the same token, it destroys the ministry. I'm warning you. Don't be swayed. You have to find out who they are. If they really, truly publish the word of God. I got 10 minutes more, then you will go home. Enjoy your lunch. But the meanwhile, while I'm here, I'm in control and the Holy Spirit of God is in control. So much things to be done. This coming July is what Pastor have announced. I've never been excited in my life to be in that place. I encourage you to be with the group. You will see. You know what? American was not evangelized by the American Indian. There was a missionary from England who came to America to evangelize the Americans. It's not the American Indian. Philippines wasn't evangelized by the Filipinos. There were missionaries who came to the Philippines and evangelized the Filipinos. It's not the native Mansaka, Mandayam, Bagobo, whatever, those kinds of natives. No. You, the American people, American Christians, I got saved through American missionaries. I can't get over it. Please, I keep on repeating this, but I'm grateful for the American missionaries. I got saved instead of me hellbound, I'm heaven-bound. I can shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to hell because I have this word. Who brought this word to the Philippines? The American missionaries. Once upon a time, I attended in Pennsylvania a group of pastors planning, mapping out how to reach the Philippines. It dawned on me, I said, probably this is the thing that happening before I got saved. They prayed. They spent so much time mapping out, making some plans of how to reach the Filipinos. And thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. I don't know about you. I hope we will see each other in heaven and sing 1,000 tongues to sing. though it won't harmonize all the way, but I could lead the singing probably. I'll have the chance to lead the singing. We'll be there for eternity, so I have the chance. Most likely, I'll be practicing how to sing. In my 30 years of being a member of this church, I've never been given a chance to sing a solo. I'm still wanting to sing, but nobody invited me to sing a solo. Am I going to sing now? Are you allowing? No, you might be going home. So just hang on. Just hang on. It's so beautiful to be a Christian, isn't it? It's so beautiful to be a Christian. If you are not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the day. Now is the day. Don't pass this time. Don't pass this time, because there will be no tomorrow. Probably you will be hit by a Mack truck when you go home, may God forbid. I always remember that Mack truck. I don't know why. Because it will bring you to the hospital or down and to the cemetery. Lord, help. Get out of your comfort zone. Young man, one day, a Bible Institute student came to me, just this week. Bless his soul. Said, Manny, pretty soon I'll be graduating in the Bible Institute. I want to go to the Philippines, but I have this situation. I said, praise the Lord. What you put in, you have to put it out. Don't battle in the knowledge that you have. It's of no value. It's all here. Take it out. I remember Pat then he said, even if you know only one verse in the Bible, use it. Use it. You don't have to memorize a lot of scriptures. Up to now, I memorize only with Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I use it for the glory of God. Now, the report. 50 police stations in Davao have this billboard scripture signs. 50 police stations have a Bible verse in front of their police station, in front of their headquarters. Even in their main headquarters, they have this Bible verse. You can do that here in the States. You cannot do it. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. But we have the privilege, we have the chance to put up that Bible verse in front of the police station. They ask me, Manny, do you have a church? Do you pastor a church? I said, no. But I have a huge congregation. The whole police station is my congregation. The verse is there being read 24 hours a day. Can you imagine that? 24 hours a day, the word of God has been read by anybody, by somebody, whoever it is. One way or the other, they read the word of God. The blood is off in our hands. You are a part of that. I'm just the one being in the front line, but you are the one supporting the work. Without you, I can't do it. Without you, you can't do it. What a blessing. What a blessing the Lord has blessed us. First Bible Church, I'm so grateful. I'm truly grateful that you trusted me, you sent me to the field, and supported me in prayer. Pray for me every day. That's what my friend have said. Manny, I pray for you every day. I know a lot of you have been praying for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the strength that I have. I'm powerless without your prayer. We're in this together. We're united in this. We're bound together. So, Lord, There's a great ministry going on in the Philippines, as far as I'm concerned. The publishing of the Word of God. Even in public transportation. I'm going to put up a Bible verse in every transportation. That when we ride in a jeep, the average jeepney. We don't have a taxi, we have a bus, but mostly it's a jeepney. Some of those guys who went to the Philippines knows what I'm talking about. And while waiting, while sitting in the jeepney, they have no other choice but to read the Word of God. Right? Are you with me? I hope you are, man. Every time they sit in that jeepney, going to point A to point B, they have no choice but to read the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you are not excited, you are dead. I am excited. When I go back, that will be my next project. And one more thing. Let me drink some water. As we know, you go to 42nd Street, they have this neon sign. About the any kind of neon sign. Some are news flash, you know, in 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. And some neon signs, they have this almost half-naked men, naked women, halfly. Now, I'm being allowed, I mean privileged, to put up a neon sign on a town, a public plaza. That's in a public park. I have a picture in there with me. I'll show it to you. I'll post it in the back. I'm allowed. They're waiting for me to give the financial support. I'm allowed to put up a neon sign with the Word of God, with the Bible verse. During the night, they can read it. Revolving 24 hours a day. And that's never been done in the Philippines yet. And it's being approved. One town has approved that. And I'm going to work for it. That one of these days, not only one, not only two, not only three towns, but if possible, big cities can have that neon sign. And the Word of God will be published. What did it say? And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Among all nations. Now we have started. And I'm so glad that you are a part of this ministry. This is not my ministry. This is yours. I'm giving a report of what's going on. What I'm talking now is I'm inviting you, if possible. Come and visit me. Don't believe what I said, all of it. Please, come and visit me. Because I know when you hear some missionaries, you will hear all the troubles, the hardship, the need, and the good report, even in the mountain, you know. But please, come and visit me and see the report, what's going on. And I'm encouraged. Many things had happened. As like January 13, March 31st, we have a revival on soul winning. Our guest speaker, they become my friend, Colonel in the Army, Vivian Cassis. You know what? Pardon me if I'll say these things. You can befriend me after this. It's okay. He's the only man, the only military man, who is a high-ranking official who don't carry a gun. He's not bragging about it. He's so humble about it. He don't carry any gun. He said, "Why should I carry a gun? I have my 45. Amen. This is his 45. Here's the man. Ask him if I'm lying. That's why I'm telling you, go and visit me. So I won't be telling you a lie. And here's a witness. Here's a proof, a man. Unusual man. A very unusual man. Go to the field without a gun. And one more thing I could say. I'm proud of him. This is what he said. In Manila, they have this big statue, Virgin Mary. And they were told to clean up that place. And you know what he did? He tore down that Virgin Mary. He turned it down all the way flat. And all the wives of the general were mad. And everybody was mad at him. And he was told, why did you do that? His superior was asking him, why did you do that? You told me to clean it up, so I cleaned it up. Just to make a face, he said, you better replace it. So what he did replace it. He bought another Virgin Mary statue. How much it cost? 1,200 pesos. And he said, see, your Virgin Mary is only worth 1,200 pesos. But we have the real God. We have a 45 that could shoot anybody, anywhere, any side. Anywhere, any side. And we have also a radio program. Thank God for your faithfulness. And I know this man who supported this radio program. The message is brought out every day, 1 hour, 1 hour every day, 8:30 in the evening till 9:30 in the evening, prime time. Never miss, every day. The word of God is being brought out through the radio. You cannot do that here in the States. No one will listen. Everybody's in the computer. What radio you're talking about? But you know what? I've been listening to the radio before. I always listen to Bob Grant. I think you know him. And before he closes his program, he said, your influence count. Use it. Use your influence. Use your Christianity. Be a witness. The world is dying. Most of the people now are in the beach, enjoying the sunny weather, the sunshine. But thank God for your faithfulness. The Lord is smiling on us. Because we are here in the house of the Lord. Day in, day out. Many years now, I've seen members here come and go, come and go. But there are lots of faithful ones. And the young ones, before, they were still a baby. Now they're teenagers. Some of them got married. And they're growing so fast. And I'm the only one that didn't grow. I'm still short. But then, I'm looking at these young people. I wish I can encourage you. Will you please, parents, send them to the Philippines? I'll take care of them. They will see, they will enjoy the ministry. Keep them out of the computer. Bring them somewhere. Give it to me. We'll bring them somewhere. We'll teach them about mission. Bring them in the mission field. Your life will change. See what happened to Paul Eisner? Where's Paul? His life has changed. He married a Filipina lady. His life has totally changed. I don't know why, probably because of his wife or what. So go to the Philippines and see the field, see the work, and you will enjoy the ministry. You know what? Probably you're not even drowned. you're on the finishing lap. So hang on, stay put, serve the Lord, be a witness. Don't be like Jonah. Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish. And he experienced a lot of things. Not in a good way, but suffering a lot. I know there's a deeper meaning than that. I know that. But literally, as we see the picture, Jonah did suffer. After he was vomited from the belly of the whale, went home, met his wife. His wife was complaining, he smells like a fish. If you be out of the will of God, one of these days you smell fishy. Be in the will of God. Be in the will of God. Was the Lord. I can't hardly express how to encourage you that you should be more concerned of souls. Faithful in coming to church, that's good. That's what I've been doing for 30 years. For 30 solid years, I've been doing that. I've been faithful. When in fact, before this seating arrangement was changed, I sit in the same place every Sunday, every service. I own that place. Now I relinquish it to anybody. The day will come. We are working for the judgment day. You believe it or not, it's up to you. I could say that's my crown. Lord, that's my crown. Lord, that's my crown. I have a crown in heaven. I have a crown waiting for me. If in heaven, if it's not a crown, probably it's a maiden. Roaming around in heaven, you don't have a medal at all. What will they think of you? They'll say, oh, this must be a lazy man. Has no medal, no reward. What have you done? What have you done while you were in Staten Island? This coming mission trip in July, prepare yourself. I've never been in that place, but I have an idea of what it is. I won't promise you that it's a peaceful place. It's infested with NPA. And I'm warning you, but I'm not scaring you. We'll prove to the Lord that He is on our side. That He is on our side. And that will come to a conclusion as what they said. It will separate the man from the boys. Continue to pray. We have 1 year of prayer. Amen. Before that day will come. Why I'm encouraged to go to that place? You know why? A missionary friend of mine from Missionary Baptist went to that place through the coastal areas. And he met a man, a 90-year-old man. A 90-year-old man. He claims that he never heard the word of God. That provoked me. That provoked me to go to that place. So what am I doing? I encourage you, I bring this message to you that you can affect some lives. You got the influence, use it. You got the resources, use it. You got the knowledge, use it. You got the strength, use it. Use it for the glory of God. I know not all of us can go. Some are hindered because of work. because of old age, probably. But those who can go, please go before you got hit with a Mack truck. And you'll say, oh Lord, I should have been there, lying in bed. You don't want to do that. You don't want to stay in bed and realize that you should have been there. Stroke, open heart surgery, it doesn't hinder me to serve the Lord. I'm retired from working in this. I go back and forth every day. But hey, I enjoy serving the Lord. It's a privilege to serve God. God is so good. God is so good. The problem of our family is sometimes because your parents, you have been unfaithful to the Lord. The Lord has been good to you, but you just neglect, you just close your eyes as if everything has no ending to it. It will come.
That's right.
It will come.
That's right, brother. Amen. That's right.
It will come. Either a good ending or a bad ending. But something is going to come. I thank God. I really thank God. I can't thank God enough for what God has done in my life and the life of my children. I'm not proud in a bragging manner, but proud to know that my granddaughter was here giving out gospel tracts. They live upstate. Their church sponsored a public ministry. Are you not happy your grandchildren serving the Lord? Are you not happy? Why? It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen because he was told to. It happened because her parents were faithful in serving the Lord. I'm not saying this in a bragging manner, not at all in a long shot. I humble myself. I just want you to be encouraged. Continue on serving the Lord. It's just a very simple message. But I just want you to be encouraged. The day will come. The day will come. When judgment time will come. What have you done for me when the Lord will ask you? You are too busy with the barbecue in the backyard. Thank God for that. I have nothing against that. Enjoy while you can. Eat the good food what you can. But please, I beg of you. Pray for those who are in the field. Pray for me. My feelings sometimes are wounded. My wife knows that. But I said, what the heck? If the Lord will call me now, so be it. I did my part. I did the best I could. I gave my 101%. I could have been fishing every day. I can do it. Why not? I'm retired. But I'm not retarded in the service of God. I have seen a young man in here. They were supposedly the future to be pastors, missionaries. And where are they now? That breaks my heart. I know these kids when they were yet a baby. I know them pretty well. But where are they now? Where are they now? Where are you now? Are you still in the presence of God? And you're still in the presence of God, serving the Lord. God is good. And God is good. Thank you so much. And I wish to see you next year, Lord willing. Not here, down in the field, in Davao Oriental. Davao Oriental. Colonel Bin Cassis is planning to go with us, if he can. Yeah. If I'll be in trouble, he's there with me. He'll bring you a battalion of army. Pretty soon he'll be a general. And I'm proud to see this. He's a humble man. I've never seen a military man who loves so much the Lord. Who loves so much the Lord. I'm proud to be his friend. I'm totally proud. If it were not for the Lord, we won't see each other. And never have, maybe I could never have a friend who is a colonel in the military. But praise God, I am not lifting him up or boasting him, but he's a blessing. You have been a blessing to me. You have been a great blessing to me in my life. The only problem is I'm the only one that didn't grow. Everybody outgrows me. But that's okay. I'll still be your friend. Some of you, before I say I left, got a few white hair, gray hair, but now look at Tony. All of his hair are gray. Gray than mine. So, praise God. And one more thing I forgot. The discipleship program that we had last year, Brother Nene Ineryu was there to conduct the discipleship seminar or a workshop. The three churches has been established because of that. Three churches has been established because of that, because of your support. Because of your involvement, because of your prayer, you have been praying for them. Isn't that wonderful? Are you excited? Looks like you're still dead. Three churches, meaning to say that three pastors has been established. Three churches has been established. And they're still using that discipleship lesson up to now. It has been a material, a solid material, which they love it. And also, we are expanding our ministry, gospel tract distribution. If you know the Philippines, I'm in Mindanao, and the gospel tract distribution will be expanded up to Cebu. That's another island, a big island. So, Brother Chris, Manila, you have a work to do. First Bible Church, you have to produce more Bible tracts. Because can you imagine if you'll be in heaven, or somebody will be in hell with a gospel tract in their hand? That's what somebody said. It could happen. A guy went to hell with a gospel tract in their hand. We don't want to do that. We don't want that to happen, I mean. Keep on going. Keep on doing what we're doing. Gospel tract is distribution. Can hardly exist now in the Philippines. We are the only one that's giving out for free. We, First Bible Church, giving out free gospel tracts all over the Philippines. Free. It's very expensive with that kind of ministry. But the Lord is big. We think big. We spend big. So that's what's going on. Thank you for giving me this time, and wish to see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I wanted somebody, if you'll go in my office and get that map. There's a big laminated map. If somebody back there would just go in and grab it for me. Somebody maybe with a key, because it might be locked. The big laminated one. Well, so many things came to mind to me when Brother Manny was speaking this morning. This verse came to mind. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now that verse comes to mind, you know, when I think about Brother Manny, is that for 32 years now, he has been a part of this church from the very beginning. And like he said, he's a grandfather with open heart surgery and a major stroke. And he's a missionary on the mission field out of this church at a time when most guys are really just thinking about sitting down in a rocking chair and playing with their grandkids and fishing, or, you know, burning their brain out on television for the rest of their life or something, or running back and forth to Atlantic City or half a dozen other stupid things that people do with their years. It's a blessing and a little bit of a reproof to this church that our first missionary out of this church is a man like Manny. It ought to convict every one of us a little bit in here, shouldn't it? Is that the map? Okay. Oh, I thought you had a little one. I made a big one and I made a bunch of little ones. That's it. And we're going to find a way, a place somewhere up here to put this up. Thank you, Rob. And I don't know how well you can see it, but this is a small little part of the island of Mindanao. Most of you are familiar with the island of Mindanao, but I wanted you to see. Now, this is the area where Manny is. He's in the city of Davao, right here. Some of you have been there with me. And the area that we're praying about, the area that we're going to, I don't know if you could understand all that he was saying. His English isn't getting better in the last few years. It seems to be getting worse, but we're going to get a translator from now on when you get up here to preach. But I got the gist of it. You know what I did get? I got his heart. I got his heart this morning. I got his spirit this morning. And if you didn't understand every word, I think the message is still clear. This man has set his sights on things eternal. It reproves me, it convicts me, it burdens me. When most of you, young, strong, healthy, some of you have never had a stroke, never had open heart surgery, got health, and probably more than once God may have tugged at your heart to really do something significant with your life. And sometimes we waste it on the little ball that gets hit out of the park and the fishing rod and a thousand other things, that when you and I stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, those things are going to appear finally for what they really were, a waste of time and a diversion. I'm not saying a Christian can't have fun. I'm not saying those things don't have their place. But if your life revolves around those things, you're going to be like Jonah. You're starting to smell fishy. I like that. I'm going to have to remember that. A Christian out of the will of God starts to smell fishy. It smells fishy to God, because the life that you and I were given was supposed to be invested for Him and spent on eternal things. Now, the area that we have in mind, and it's weird because Brother Manny was thinking this and I was thinking it too. Is that not true? He got off the plane when he came home from the Philippines for this vision, for this summer visit that he's here, and we both had a similar idea, and he had on his heart this area right here, along the coastal area of Davao Oriental. As he said, it's not a resort area. There is a little bit of risk. As he said, it's infested with NPA. Those are the communist guerrillas. But we have a great God in heaven who controls everything. And if the Spirit of God leads our missionary to do something and us to help him, then I know that the Lord is already laying the groundwork for some churches in this area. These are the towns right here. There's six major towns along that coastal area, starting here at the top. These are the six that we're praying about. And we're going to keep this map up here and remind you about this every Sunday until next July, to to pray and pray and pray and pray. The first town here is Boston. How many of you always wanted to see Boston? Now you can see Boston, okay? Boston, probably won't get them right. Katil, Benganga, is that close enough? Let's see, Caraga, Menai, Tarragona, and that's it, right? Tarragona. All along this area. It'll take us 3 weeks at least. That would not really be sufficient, but we can't keep guys away from their families for more than that. But we're planning to stay for 3 weeks there so that we could, if possible, spend 2 or 3 days in each of these towns, flood the town with literature, gospel literature, and hopefully in each of those towns hold a gospel service, a preaching service, invite as many people out as we can, and see if the Lord might start some churches in those towns. So that's our desire. That's our missionary's burden and his vision, along with all the other things that he's doing. And I thank the Lord for him. I thank the Lord for what he's put in his heart. And I want you, just before we leave the room this morning, I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture today, Romans chapter 10. We're going to close on this now and go home. But I want you to think about this verse of Scripture, because missions, and I don't like to use the word soul winning, because the Spirit of God is the true soul winner. We really are just the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to bear witness. The Holy Spirit is the one who wins souls to Jesus Christ. However, wherever you may be, there are souls that need to be reached across the street from you, around the world, and you and I are supposed to start right across the street. And in Romans chapter 10, it tells us that, Romans chapter 10, look at this, it says in verse number 8, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." You know what, today in America, you don't have to go very far to find the Word of God. You know, you can hear it on the radio. Some of you in here today, have 3 or 4 or 5 different Bibles. You can purchase a Bible. There are tracts around. America's going to have no excuse. The Word is not, God did not bury His Word in a cave in a mountain somewhere and require you to go on a pilgrimage to go find the truth. The Word of God, God's made it so that the Word of God is everywhere around this globe. There are men, as Brother Manny said, there were missionaries that came to America hundreds of years ago and brought the gospel here. Americans went to the Philippines years ago and brought the gospel to the Philippines. Now it is that the Filipinos are going everywhere with the gospel. There are probably more Filipinos that are faithful missionaries today than there are Americans that are doing it. The Filipinos are going all over Asia and Cambodia and Thailand and Laos and Vietnam and the Middle East, taking the gospel to those places. But there are still areas, there are still towns, there are still tribes, there are still parts of this world where the Word of God has not yet been taken. And it's our responsibility. Look at verse number 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." I'm glad the Lord made it easy to get saved. Simple for us to get saved. Amen? It's not difficult. If it was difficult, most of us wouldn't have got it in here. God made it simple. He did all the work. It was a complicated thing for God to have worked out, that He could justify the ungodly, but God found a way by becoming a man, paying the price, and then preaching the gospel so that men could just believe on Jesus Christ. They could have eternal life. The Lord made it simple. Just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Notice verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Hope you're not ashamed today. That word ashamed has several meanings, but you shouldn't be ashamed if Jesus is your Savior today. One day, if you just trust Him and serve Him, you'll never have to suffer shame either. Verse number 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." Amen, Eli? Amen. "There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the Chinese and the Polish, or the Italians." God looks upon all of us, every nationality. We all have the same affliction, sin. We all had the same problem, sin. We all had the same future, condemned to hell. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to save every single one of us. God sent Him into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now look at this. Notice how the Lord did this. It says, verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." Verse 13, this is so simple, it's so clear. "For whosoever, anybody, regardless of religion, regardless of race, regardless of your heritage, regardless of your economic standing, anybody who will trust, believe," and that trust is expressed by calling upon the Lord. "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, shall be saved." Now, I read that in order to get to verse 14. I read that because verse 14 is where the rubber meets the road. Having said all of that, God, the Lord is only saying what He said, that the Word is not difficult to obtain. The Word is not difficult to receive. The salvation is not complicated to actually have that. God has done all the work, but now we get to verse 14. Verse 14 is where some action on our part is required as children of God. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How? Now, there, all of that we read from verse 8 down through verse 13, that God has done all the work, that the Word of God will bring it near to your heart. It can be received by anybody. Whosoever will may come. But here's the hard part. Here's the part where we fail. Here's the part where maybe as a church we don't have much to boast about here. We have one 66-year-old man with open heart surgery and a stroke who was our missionary on a foreign field. But you know what? We have a room full of healthy people in here. And I'm not saying God is calling every single one of us to go to the mission field. But do you know what? We haven't fulfilled our responsibility just by paying somebody to do it for us. Because God may be calling you or me to do it as well. Watch this. "How shall they hear without a preacher?" Verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I don't want to see Manny's feet, but I want him to take off his shoes. But do you know what? God sees beauty in that. There is beauty in that. And I share my brother's burden. We have perhaps others in this room, others in our church family here. If God were tugging at your heart, if God were speaking to your heart, I hope you'll be faithful to respond to Him. Faithfulness, vision, a burden, those are all things that the Spirit of God has to give to you. And I hope we'll have more in our church, some young men, young ladies that would step out by faith and be willing, whether it's the Philippines or somewhere else in the world that God brings to your attention. I can't explain how this church got so involved in the Philippines except for years and years ago, Brother Manny just kept talking about it and kept talking about it and kept sharing with me his burden for his people and for that place. And he talked about it and convinced me to go make a visit. And when I saw the place, the Spirit of God just seemed to tug at my heart. And I don't know whether other nations the Lord may draw our attention to. Maybe it'll be Lebanon or some other town, some other country, some other island. But you know what? Where God has opened the doors for us, we have to be faithful. Others are needed. Help is needed. And I hope you'll just pray and maybe God will do something in your life. Maybe God will show you that you are the next one that needs to step out and go. Let's bow our heads this morning. I thank you, brother, for just reminding us of the need there. Thank you, Brother Manny, for those words this morning. And First Bible Church, we need to do more than just support our missionary with our money and our prayers, because it takes feet. It takes feet, right? It takes feet. How beautiful are the feet. Why would the Lord single out that part of your anatomy? Why did he say it takes eyes or hands? Because missions is impossible unless somebody goes. The feet are what the Lord looks at when it comes to missions. Now, you could start by just going across the street to your neighbor. You could start by going to the kids you go to school with. You could start by going to that guy or that woman you work with. It starts there. Be faithful at home first. Be faithful in your own neighborhood first. Be faithful here on Staten Island first. But how beautiful are those feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. And if God would speak to your heart in here this morning, maybe the Lord would. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you about something like this. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you about surrendering your life, giving your life just to serve the Lord in that way. Maybe God is tugging at you today. I don't want to be the one to call you into the ministry or call you into missions, but if the Spirit of God is speaking to you today, maybe you should acknowledge it. If God is tugging at your heart today, if God is speaking to you today, and you'd say, Lord, I would be willing, if you'd show me what you wanted me to do, I would be willing to go wherever you sent me. If I knew it was you sending me, Lord, I'd be willing to go if you were to send me. I wonder, is there anyone at all like that here today? Before we leave the room this morning, maybe God was speaking to your heart about these things today. You'd say, Lord, if I knew it was you sending me, I'd be willing to go. Help me to know your will. Is there anyone like that? Would you just lift your hand and put it back down? Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? It begins with a surrendered heart. It begins when you just yield yourself. You make your body a living sacrifice to the Lord. And you let Him use you the way He wants to. Is there anyone else? You'd say, Lord, All right, amen. Yes, sir. Lord, if I knew it was you calling me, if you'd make it clear, Lord, I would be willing. I would go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. All right. Yes, sir. It's not a game. It's not a game because there's always a price to pay. It's not a vacation. There's a price to pay. And I'm going to pray for you, those that lifted your hands this morning, 7 or 8 of you this morning. I hope that God will show you and make it clear. If He does, I hope you'll be obedient. It may be the Philippines, maybe somewhere else. It may just be surrendering yourself to full-time ministry in some area, whatever God would show you. But it starts with a willing heart. It starts like it did for Isaiah. Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Our Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the meeting. I thank you for our brother. I thank you, Lord, for the years of faithfulness in this place, Lord, that he's demonstrated. There's no one in this church, Lord, that would have any cause to ever question his commitment to thee, his love for you. For all these many years, Lord, it was demonstrated week after week after week after week. Not just by his presence in this place for services, but his love and his involvement in the ministries, his love for the church itself, Lord, and his love for you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement that he's always been to me, to my family, to all of us here in this place. And, Lord, I pray your continued strength and health for him. I pray, Lord, for those towns along the coast of Davao. I pray, Lord God, that you may even now begin to, that the Spirit of God would begin to prepare the way before us and help us, Lord, that all the plans may fall into place, that they might be your plans, Lord, and not our ideas. But, Lord, may you guide us and help us. May you provide the finances, Lord. May you help us to prepare the literature. May you raise up those who would be willing to go. Lord, may you knit our hearts together with those pastors in that place, Lord, that we'd work with. I pray, Lord God, that you'd give Manny the strength and safety that he needs to go and visit those places, Lord, and to prepare I pray, Lord, that you'd guide us in these things. And I pray for these this morning, Lord, that lifted their hands. Father, it's hard to explain and sometimes hard to understand how the Holy Spirit works, how he moves upon our heart, how we sense that burden and that call. But Lord, I know from experience and I know from talking to so many others, missionaries and preachers, that it always begins with just a surrender of ourself, a yielding of ourself, and a waiting upon you. And for those that have lifted their hands this morning, Lord, I pray that if today is to be a turning point for them, Lord, maybe today they see their purpose and their future more clearly. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to truly surrender to you with all their heart. May you direct their steps. May you show them your will. Help them to see, Lord, if it is some foreign field, if it is to go and help Brother Manny, or maybe it's some other place in this world where they need to serve, then, Lord, I pray that you'd show them that clearly. May you direct their steps. May you help them, Lord, to see what your mind is on that matter. And may you give them the grace, Lord, to surrender completely, to make whatever sacrifices are necessary, that they might be meet for your use, fit for your use. And may you guide them in these things. Thank you for the meeting this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one that's been here. May you help us, Lord, that are saved, that we might realize we were saved simply to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful in that. And we thank you for this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Folks, I want to remind you, the meeting tonight, 6 o'clock. Brother Dave Spurgeon, you don't want to miss this. I hope you'll be here tonight. Be faithful to that service. 6 o'clock. We'll see you then.